Holding on Chof Zayin Omud Beis, about halfway down the Omud, the line begins Omud of Yerichanan, and that's where we're holding. Talking further about dinim of Aveilim and Nichum Aveilim, Omud of Yerichanan, Oval Kibin Shenina Roshe, once the Oval shakes or nods his head, then the Menachemim, the people who came to be Menachem Oval, are not allowed to continue sitting next to him. In other words, he's by doing so. What does that accomplish? That he's shaking or nodding his head. Rashi says, then it looks like at that point he's already been comforted by himself. Like he already is making peace with what happened, and therefore, in other words, now the Menachemim are going to be sitting there. They don't really need to be Menachemim anymore because he himself evidently is feeling that Nichum himself. Various Rishonim talk about a few other possibilities as well, one of them being that since the Oval is not really supposed to be speaking and he can't do Sheilas Shalom or whatever, so therefore when he nods or shakes or whatever, when he does a motion like that with his head, it's the equivalent of saying She'elas Shalom. In other words, usually if he wasn't an Oval, he would tell them L'chula Shalom or something to that effect, go in peace. But now being an Oval, he can't do that. So therefore he nods his head and you're meant to understand that's what he means and therefore take your leave. A variation on that is that, for example, if he needs to go to the bathroom or needs to get up for some other reason, then he may not necessarily say so in so many words. So you have to understand based on his nonverbal cues, like shaking his head and leave. Okay. Everybody is obligated to stand up when a Nossi enters the room. In fact, in a different Gemara in Hodias, it talks about that in the times of Shimon Gamliel, they made a takana that when the Nossi comes in, everybody has to remain standing until the Nossi gets to his place, and then they can sit down. So everybody else everybody has to stand up when the Nossi comes in, except for an Oval and a sick person. There's some discussion. Do we mean that they don't have to get up, but they could if they want to, or do we mean they shouldn't get up? One of the arguments being that the reason to stand up for the Nasi or for any Talmid Chacham for that matter is because of Hidur, is in order to show him respect. And when an Oval or a Chola stands up, it doesn't really show respect because because of the situation they're in. So therefore, maybe they shouldn't. Or maybe it just means that they're not obligated to, but they could if they want to. And in that connection, everybody, you can tell them, sit down, except for an Oval and a sick person. So Tosfos explains. Tosfos brings a girsa from Rabbeinu Chananel and explains that it means when Talmid Chachamim stand up, then the Nasi has to give them permission to sit before they can sit down. But an Oval or a Chola, they didn't even have to stand up in the first place, so therefore they can sit down without Rishus. A different explanation that Ambam and some other Rishonim bring is Bedavka, you don't want to tell them Shvu, because the word shave, besides meaning to sit, can also mean to stay. So if you tell a sick person shave or Shvu, then it's as if you're telling them stay sick. And the same thing in Oval, it amounts to telling them stay in Oval. And of course, you don't want to do that. So therefore, you wouldn't tell them the word Shvu, because that would imply that you want them to stay that way. So again, that's one explanation. And according to the other explanation, it's you don't have to tell them Shvu because they didn't have to get up in the first place. It was completely voluntary on their part. And therefore, if they did, then you don't have to tell them. Then they're allowed to sit down without permission. Okay. Omer of Yehuda Amar Rav, Oval, Yoim Rishin, Osu Lechol Lechem Mishaloi. An Oval on the first day of the Avelos is not allowed to eat from his own food. Now, obviously, of course, you know, if nobody's bringing him food, we're not expecting him to go hungry. We're talking about when there are people in town who can offer him food, then they have to do that. That's what the Soda Savra is, that the Oval, instead of having his own food, that they offer it to him. We talked about yesterday a reason that the Rosh and the Orchus Chaim and others bring is because an Oval is in such a state of grief that he himself wouldn't even care to eat. So therefore, you need other people to give him food in order to take care of him. Tosfos learns, by the way, here and then, and in an earlier part of the Sugya, that it means the entire first day. Anytime the Oval is going to be eating, he has to be served food by others. On the other hand, many other Rishonim learn that it's not that way. We're talking about only the first meal after the Levay, after the Kavura. And that's the Halacha. The other rest of the meals during the day, the Oval can eat. And can eat his own food, can serve himself and eat himself if he wants. So how do we know that, says Rav Yehuda? Because again, we have to go back to what Hashem told Yechezkel. We talked about several times in this perek where Hashem tells Yechezkel that your wife is going to pass away suddenly and you're not going to observe the usual rules of Avelus. And then when the Jewish people ask you why, you're going to tell them that this is a simon for what's going to happen when the Beis Hamikdash is destroyed, that nobody's going to be following the regular rules of Avelus because everybody is going to be in the same situation. And the whole purpose, one of the purposes of Avelus is for other people to comfort you. And here there's nobody to comfort. So Hashem tells Yechezkel, the lechem anoshim lo seichel, don't eat the bread of other people, implying that an oval would usually be served food by other people. So the Gemara says, Rabbah v'Rab Yosef machlofi su'da sayu lahadodi. Rabbah and Rab Yosef would trade their meals with each other, meaning it could be a situation where both of them were available at the same time, for example, or it could be just we're talking about one and then later on another one. So they would trade their meals. So Rabba would take the food that had been prepared for him and send it to Rabbi Yosef, and vice versa. If it was at the same time, then that way both of them are yotze giving havra to each other. If we're talking about it was at different times, then the point would be that Rabba one time did that for Rabbi Yosef, and another time Rabbi Yosef reciprocated and did that for Rabba. Another din, V'omer of Yehuda Amar Rav, Mes Ba'ir, if there is a person passed away in town and hasn't been buried yet, Kol Bnei Yair Asurin Vasiyas Malacha, then everybody in town is also to do Malacha until after he's buried. So the Gemara gives an example. Rav Hamnuna Ikla L'Droynta. Rav Hamnuna one time visited the city of Droynta. Shama Kol Shippura D'Shofa. He heard the sound of a shofar announcing that somebody had passed away. They used to, in those times, they would blow a shofar as like a siren to announce to everybody that somebody had passed away and to go join the Levaya. Shlomo ben Hayosim, and his Pirush over here, compares it, Lahavdil, to the way the Christians ring their church bells when somebody dies. Then Chaza Hanach Inchi de Ka'avdi Avidta, he saw there were people who were doing work. Omalahu, so he tells them, Lahavu Hanach Inchi Bishamta, you people should be in Cherem. Loy Shach Ve'ikra Masa, isn't there somebody passed away in your town? And we just said that we're also Basias Malacha, so what do you think you're doing? So they told him this is different. There are chavuras in town. Chavuras means like societies. In other words, Rashi explains that it means that each group would be responsible for burying their own mason. So sort of like nowadays, you have for example, you go to many Beis HaKvaras, you'll find over there that they'll have the brotherhood of this organization and the sisterhood of that organization, and then this Landsmannschaft and whatever. So like each one would be responsible exclusively for their mason. So therefore, in other words, they're telling him, so we don't belong to the chavura that this person belonged to. Therefore, it's the people of his chavura that are dealing with burying him. We're not dealing with it. A variation on that would be, so you know, generally you have nowadays a chevra kadisha, one or more chevra kadishas in town, and they're the ones who are responsible for everything involving the kvura. So therefore, you have aside from the relatives, everybody else does not have to be involved. So therefore, the same idea. So he tells them ihochi shayulahu. In that case, then it's mutter for you, meaning both. It's mutter for you to do malacha, and the shamta that I just put on you is also revoked because it was based on a mistaken premise. So that's the halacha. So when there's chavuras, for example, when there's a chevra kadisha in town, then everybody else is allowed to continue working. On the other hand, they do have a mitzvah. On the other hand, they do have to go to the funeral and at least walk four amos together with the mess. Tosfos points out that you also have the Talmid Chachamim have to break off in many cases have to break off from their learning and go do halvoyas a mess. But as far as working, we're saying that if there's a chevra kaddisha, then you don't have to stop working because there's a mess in there. Okay. Va'amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, kol amiskasha al mesa yosim idai, a person who is too mournful over his mess more so than the proper amounts, which we're going to say soon what the proper amounts are. Al mess achra v'boicha, eventually Rachman al-Aflan is going to end up having to cry for another mess as well. On the side of it here, it brings a girsa, not hamiskasha, but hamakshir, which means, in other words, also that the person mourns and cries excessively. Why is that going to cause that he's going to have to do that for another mess? That's for Shalom. So several reasons. One of them being because it looks like he's complaining about Hashem's judgment. There's a certain amount of time that you cry and that you do avelos and whatever. But beyond that, as the Gemara is going to say soon, you can't say that you're more merciful than Hashem. There's a few other points that are brought up in that regard. One of them being that Iyun Yaakov brings that if a person is crying that much, then it shows that maybe his neshama perceives that there's going to be more mourning in the future. He also compares it to the way that we say about the Jewish people in the desert, that Hashem tells them about the meraglim, that you cried b'chia shochinam, that you cried for nothing, and in the end, you're going to end up crying on Tisha B'Av for a reason. So the same way over here, the person is crying excessively over a mess, then Rachman al-Tzlan, it can have that impact later on. So the Gemara gives an example. There was a woman who lived in Rav Huna's neighborhood. She had seven sons. Mes Chadminayu, one of them passed away. Havas Kabachya Biseuta, and she was crying excessively over him. Shalach Rav Huna. So Rav Huna, after a while, sent her a message. Loi Tavdi Hoch, you shouldn't do that, like we said. Loi Ashkechabe, she didn't pay attention. Shalach Lo, so Rav Huna sent her another message. If you listen, then good, then everything will be good for you. And if not, then start preparing provisions for the next one. Provisions meaning tachrichin. In other words, Rachman al-Aflan, your next one is going to pass away as well. Sure enough, the next one passed away. And they eventually all, this kept on going on. And eventually all of them passed away. The Pashtus, we have to be talking about that these were children, and the Gemara tells us in several places, including Masech the Shabbos, that sometimes young children are taken away from the world as a punishment for their parents' aveiros, if they were, in this case, that she was crying excessively and that Rav Huna had warned her not to. If they themselves were already grown children, then they themselves would be responsible for themselves, not for what their mother did. Anyway, Lasoif Omalah, eventually he told her, you still don't understand what's going on over here. Chimush zvadta l'nafsha. You better start preparing provisions for yourself. And sure enough, Misa, and she passed away also. So we see from this about how serious the consequences can be of hamiskasha al meisa yosimidai. So of course, you have to be careful about that. So in this connection, we have a pasuk that expresses this idea. The Navi says, Al tivku l'mes, don't cry for the dead, v'al tanudu loy, and don't shake your head over him, as they used to in those days. Before, we talked about the oval shaking his head like as a simon that he's already been comforted. Here we're talking about a kind of shaking the head that was done as an expression of sorrow and grief. So what does he mean? So he can't mean, of course, don't cry and don't shake your head for the mess at all. So what does it mean? Al tivku l'mes yosimidai, what the Navi is telling the people, don't cry excessively for the mess, and don't shake your head and then sit in avelos more than the proper shear. Okay, so what does that mean? What are the proper amounts? The first 3 days is for crying. It's legitimate to cry during that time. And in fact, a person should cry during that time. A person should have that kind of raw emotion during that time. The shiva la hesped. The rest of the shiva is for hesped. It's for being sad and talking about the qualities of the nifter and saying various aspedim, like we said before, and we're going to say later on chof chesam adbeis, different examples of aspedim. That's during the rest of the shiva, and of course, then you'll put the person who's also saying shiva. Ushloshim le gihut zol tisperes, and 30 days that you have the rules of shloshim, where you're not allowed to do gihuts, as we talked about before, what it means, whether it means ironing or pressing the clothes, whether it means washing them with detergent, and so forth. At ulatis spodus, and as far as taking a haircut, so those are among the rules of shloshim. Mikan ve'elah, after that, don't go beyond those times with those things, because Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, iyatim rachmonim bo yosim reni, Hashem will say, in effect, you're not more rachmonistic over him than I am. I had my reasons why he had to pass away. So don't think that you have more rachmonos than I do, and you're gonna cry or do a spadim or whatever excessively over him. In that connection, that same pasuk in Yirmiyah continues, b'chu b'choy la'holich, cry for the one who is going. So what? And b'chu b'choy is a double expression, like it means a much greater amount of crying for the one who goes. So what does that mean? Amr of Yehuda, lahoylech b'lo bonim, means the Navi is talking about specifically when a person is going from this world without children. So therefore, that's something to mourn more than usual, the fact that he's not leaving children behind him to carry on his name and his avoda in the world. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, la'ozo l'bei evla, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi generally would not go to a shiva house, ela l'manda ozo b'lo boni, only for somebody who passed away without children. As this pasuk says, cry for the one who goes, which we said means one who goes without children. Because the pasuk continues, he will never return and see the land of his birth. So in other words, the idea is that a person passes away without children, it's a much greater tragedy than anything else, and therefore Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, in token of that, would go to be Menachem Avol, the relatives of such a person. Because he more than anybody else, there's very little of him left in the world. On the other hand, Rav Huna Omar, Rav Huna says a different drasha on this pasuk. Now, Rav Huna is not, Mefoshim explained, Rav Huna is not disagreeing with the previous drasha. Marshall says he's not disagreeing because then it would say Rav Huna Omar does not imply that he's arguing with Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. He's just pointing out another dimension of this word b'chu b'chay l'hoil. So Rav Huna says, Zesha over Aveda v'shana ba. It means the words b'chu b'chay l'hoilach is talking about a person who did an Aveda and repeated it, where now when it says ki lo yoshuv oid, means it's going to be very difficult for the person to do tshuva. And the Gemara says, Rav Huna l'taymei. Rav Huna is going according to his own svara in understanding the pasuk that way. De'omer Rav Huna, as Rav Huna says, Kivin sha'ova odom aveira v'shanaba, once a person has done an aveira and then repeated the same aveira again, hutraloi, then it becomes mutter to him. The Gemara says, hutraloi, what do you mean it becomes mutter to him? Obviously, it's not mutter to him. Ela'im anasis like a heker. Rather, what Rav Huna is saying is it feels to him like a heker. He feels psychologically that it's not so bad what he did, and he may do it again and again. There's a vote from Rabbi Yisrael Salanter that we quoted in connection with this before. The Gemara brings this also in Yuma, that he said once a person does the Aveda three times, he feels like it's a mitzvah. The point being, in other words, Rav Huna figured that the person has repeated the same Aveda two times, then already it starts having more of a psychological effect on him. Therefore, it's going to be much harder for him to do tshuva. And therefore, so that's what Rav Huna is saying. That's what the pasuk means. B'chu b'chay l'hoylech, cry and cry for a person who's hoylech, who went from this world, having done the same aveira twice, because ki lo yoshuv oid, it's going to be very difficult at this point for him to fully do tshuva. Going back to an oval, the Gemara says, Amar Ablevi, oval shloisha yamim harashonim yiras atmoi ki lo cherev munachas lei ben shtei yirei choysa. During the first 3 days of Avelos, the point that we're going to be saying is that when a person's relative passed away and he's sitting shiva, so it means, in other words, there's a certain midas hadin on the family as a whole. So the oval should feel that as though there's a midas hadin on him as well, that he himself is in danger. So he should. So for the first 3 days, you should feel as if there's a sword between Yirei Choysa, between his two legs, his two thighs, or on the side of it here, it brings a girsa, being shake safe of between his two shoulders, like as if like there's a sword suspended over him that at any moment could fall on him. Mishloishad Shiva, then during the rest of Shiva, after 3 days until the end of Shiva, he should feel he's still in danger, but the danger is diminishing. So therefore, Kila Munachas, like a negative, a Keren Zavis, therefore he should feel as though the sword is sitting in the corner opposite him, ready to be used at any time. The point of this is, in other words, the point of all of this is that he should feel that it should put him in a mood of doing tshuva. Part of the idea of Avelos, part of the idea of all the sadness and the crying and everything that we said before, is that a person should realize that a person is only in this world for however long, 70 or 80 years, in order to accomplish what the Eved sent his neshama in the world for. And therefore now he should realize that when one of his relatives passed away, it shows there's a midas hadin on him, and therefore he should be more in a mind of doing tshuva. So this is expressed by the idea that he should feel that as if a sword is hanging over him or in the corner opposite him, meaning in other words that he's very close to being punished himself, and therefore that'll put him in a frame of mind to do tshuva out of fear of that. Mikan va'elach kilu averes kenegdei v'shuk. After that, he should feel as though the sword is being brought in front of him in the marketplace. Tosfos says that means until the end of the 12 months. Marsha says maybe not. Maybe it means only until the end of the 30 days, until the end of Shloshim. Tosfos also refers to a Gemara and Shabbos that expresses the same idea that, for example, if there's a bunch of brothers and one of them passed away, so all of them should be concerned that they might be next and will put them in a frame of mind for doing tshuva. It does also say on the positive side that once a baby is born in the family, then it shows that the midas hadin has been taken away from the family, that now they're back to normal, so therefore they don't have to be in this state of constant fear. Okay, the Mishnah had said v'loishol noshim la'olam etnei akavod. We said in the Mishnah that on Chol HaMoed you're not allowed to put the mitzvah, the beer carrying the mess, you're not allowed to put it down in the street. On Chol HaMoed we said shaloi lahargalos ahesped, in order not to get people used to doing hespedim, because on Chol HaMoed you have to minimize the amount of hespedim and mourning that you do. And we said that you never put the mitzvah of a woman down in the street mipnei hakavod, because of kavod. So what does that mean? Amri nahagoy lo yishono el achoya. So then how dare you say that means only a woman who passed away in childbirth. So therefore, tremendous amount of blood is coming out of her, and a lot came out while she was alive. More may come out after she passed away. And therefore, it would be a gnai, it would be a shameful thing that she's going to end up being dirty with blood in front of everybody. But then how dare you say other women you'd be allowed to put down their mitta in the street, because there's no reason to worry about any such thing happening. On the other hand, Rabbi Loza says, no, after the Shana Nashim, even other women, any woman, you're not allowed to put down their mitzvah in the street. Dichtiv, Thomas Sham Miriam, but to cover Sham, as the Pasuk says, Miriam passed away there, and she was buried there, implying, Samoch Misa Kibura, for a woman, as soon as possible, after the death, you have the burial. Why is that? Rishonim bring one of the reasons is, well, one of the reasons would be in order not to treat different women differently. Like we had yesterday, for example, that there were certain ways in which they used to treat, for example, nidus who passed away different than non-nidus, and people got embarrassed. So that would be one reason. Another point, though, also is you're going to have a woman's body is lying over there dressed in tachrichim in front of a bunch of men. It's not covered, Dick. So therefore, you don't want to do that. So for Omer Rabbi Loza says, since we're talking about Miriam, ask Miriam ben Shika Mesa. Says Rabbi Loza, you should know that Miriam, just like Aaron and Moshe, passed away with Misas Neshika. The Gemara in Bava Basra explains that there were certain few rare people in history who passed away with Misas Neshika, which means Kabyochol, that Hashem kisses them and their neshama goes out of their body. With most people, as the Gemara is going to say later on the Amud, the neshama has to be schlepped out of the body, and to a certain extent, it's painful. Depending on the person's level, it can be more or less painful. But then, yeah, misas neshika is that kavyachol Hashem kisses the person, and then the neshama right away goes out of the body and goes almost like automatically to join Hashem, to join the Shechina. Now, so by Moshe it says by Moshe and by Aaron it says that they passed away al pi Hashem. Which al pi Hashem literally means by the mouth of Hashem, so it means misnas neshika. By Miriam, it doesn't say that in so many words, but Rabbi Elazar says you should know that Miriam also passed away that way. We know that Asya Shom Shom mi Moshe, because we learn it on Exeter Shava from the word Shom in connection with Moshe Rabbeinu. By Moshe, it says by Yomas Shom Moshe. By Miriam, we said it says by Thomas Shom Miriam. So we learn that she also had misnas neshika. So why doesn't it say the words Al Pi Hashem by her like it does by Moshe and by Aaron? The reason is because it would be an indelicate thing to say. Miriam is a woman after all, and Hashem is usually portrayed as male, so therefore it would be indelicate to talk about Hashem kissing her. But in fact, Rabbi Elazar tells us that's in fact what happened. Further in this connection, about since we're talking about Miriam passing away, Omer Abami, Lama Nismacha Misas Miriam or Parshas Paradumah. Why is the passing of Miriam put in the Torah right next to the section about the Paradumah? They're both at the beginning of Parshas Chukas. You have the beginning of the parasha of Paradumah, which we read for Parshas Para, and right after that you have the story of Miriam passing away. Especially the question is because those two things happen very far apart. The mitzvah of Paradumah was given the day after the Mishkan was set up, Beis Nissen of the second year of existence of Mitzrayim. Miriam passed away, Yud Nissen, 39 years later. So why are they put one next to the other? So Loi Malach, it comes to tell you, Ma Paradumah Mechaperes, just like the Paradumah brings about Kapara, Ach Misosan Shal Tzadikim Mechaperes, the same way the death of Tzadikim brings Kapara for the Jewish people. Now, what is the Paradumah Mechaper for? Tosva says for the ego, you have the famous thing Rashi brings it at the beginning of Parashas Chukas, that like we tell a mother to go and clean up her child's filth, and the same way the Tobe Paro to Chaper Maisa ego, the same way we bring a Paro, which is an older animal, a slightly older animal, to be Mechaper for the ego, for what happened with the calf. On the other hand, Marsha says, really, the parah is not necessarily mechaper per se, but it is called a chatas, and therefore, just like a chatas is mechaper, so we're saying therefore it has a certain degree of kapara associated with it. In Tanya, we have a Geras Hakodesh Chavches, which is a letter that the Alter Rebbe wrote to Rav Levi Yitzchak, who was actually his mechotan, when one of Rav Levi Yitzchak's sons named Rav Meir had passed away, and the Alter Rebbe wrote him a letter of Nicham Avelim, where he discusses this point over here, Loma Nismacha, Parshas Miriam, Parshas Parah, and talks about if the point is to say that Misa Tzadikim Mechaperes, so why is it compared specifically to the Parah Aduma rather than to any Chathas, which brings Kapara? There, at least, you can say a Chathas clearly brings Kapara. Here, by the Parah Aduma, we have to pilpul zich like Tosfos and Marsha do what Kapara it actually brings. And the Alter Rebbe develops the idea over there that regular korbanos only go up to the level of the Chayis HaKodesh, whereas the Parah Aduma goes even higher than that, and then Misas Tzadikim also reaches a level that's higher than that, and therefore, in that sense, there's a certain comparison between them. They both bring down a tremendous outflow from the Ratzon HaElyon higher than what the korbanos bring down. And therefore, the Alter Rebbe says that's why the Parah Aduma is able to take away Tumas Mes, which is the most severe kind of tumah, whereas regular chatois only work for a shergig. So the Alter Rebbe develops that whole idea in that letter there. Similarly, the Gemara says, going back to the Gemara, Amar Rav Elazar, Loma Nismacha Misas Aaron LeBigdei Kohanah. Why is the passing of Aaron put next to the Bigdei Kohanah? Now, where is that? Tosfa says, we have when Aaron passed away, the Pasuk says that so Moshe took Aaron and Elazar up to her, and then it says take Aaron's clothes off him, and Aaron will pass away over there. So therefore, we see that it talks about the Bigdei Kohanah right in connection with Aaron passing away. And the Mefoshim explain, in other words, now, obviously, you know, it says that because that's the way the story happened, that Hashem told him to take the clothes off Aaron and put them on Elazar. But the point is the fact that the pasuk repeats that detail shows, in other words, that there's a certain connection between the big de kahuna and the passing of Aaron. So what's the connection? It comes to tell you, ma big de kahuna machapin, just like the big de kahuna accomplished kapara, which the Gemara Tosfos refers to, a Gemara in Zvachim that goes through the details, every one of the eight big de kahuna, this is in Yonah Diyomer, I talked about in this week's parasha. So every one of the eight big de kahuna is machaper for a different aveda that the Jewish people might be doing. So therefore, so just like the big de kahuna bring about kapara, ach misas and shal tzaddikim mechaperes, the same way the death of tzaddikim brings kapara to the Jewish people. Okay, the Gemara says tonen abanan. Let's talk about different. Let's talk about how a person passes away. How long passes that they're sick before they pass away, and what those various things mean. Tonen abanan mes pisaim. If a person passes away suddenly. Zui misachatufa, then this is called like a snatched or grabbed away death. In other words, it's like it means, in other words, like Hashem wanted to all of a sudden grab him away from the world. Cholo yom echad umes, if he was sick for one day and then he passed away. Zui misachatufa, then it means it's a pushed death, like as if Hashem kind of pushed him out of the world. The point of all of these is, as the Gemara is going to explain soon, these all may be examples of kores de yomi, where we have like this, a person is chayiv kores for various averas. So we're going to discuss soon that at least in the times of the Bais Mikdash, kores meant that a person actually passes away before a certain age. But you can have, on the other hand, what if a person is beyond that age? So then they can't be, so they can't pass away at that age anymore. However, you can still have kores de yomi, where they die suddenly, and that's considered a form of kores. So that's what we're saying, that if it's immediate, he passed away suddenly, then it's chatufa. If it was one day, then it's called dechufa, and so forth. And only eventually, we're going to say, only if you have that the person was sick for a few days beforehand, then it's a normal misa. So Rav Hanani ben Gamliel oimer zui misas magefa. Rav Hanani ben Gamliel says that actually, if a person passed away after only one day's sickness, then it's not called misa dechufa, he calls it misas magefa. It's a death from magefa, literally from a plague or a blow. The uchtiv, because the pasuk says again by Yechezkel and the whole thing with his wife, Hashem tells him, Ben Adam, hinini lekeach mimchas machmari necha b'magefa. I'm going to take away from you the beloved one of your eyes, meaning your wife, in a plague. Uchtiv, and the pasuk continues, Va'adaber la'am b'boker. I told the people in the morning, Yechezkel told them what's going to happen. Va'tomas ishti ba'orev, and my wife passed away that evening. So in other words, she got sick right away after he talked to them, and then she passed away that same day. So that's one day sickness, and then she passed away. So Rav Hanani ben Gamliel is saying that since the pasuk calls it magefa, then that's what it means. It's a misas magefa. Now, in her case, obviously, it wasn't necessarily a matter of kores de yomi, because Hashem had informed Yechezkel in advance that she's going to pass away, and he wanted that Yechezkel should be a simon for the Jewish people of what's going to happen. So I guess we'll say, in other words, that other things being equal, and then it means it's a misas magefa or misa dechuya or whatever these various definitions are. But obviously, there can be exceptions. Next, continues the Braisa, Shnei Yomim Vames, if the person was sick for 2 days and then passed away, Zui Misa Dechuya, then it's a Misa Dechuya. Dechuya also means pushed away, but not quite so strongly as Dechufa. Tosva says, I don't really understand what the distinction is and where the Braisa is getting these distinctions from, but okay, they have the Kabbalah, I guess. Gimel Ga'ora, if the person was sick for only 3 days and passed away, then it shows Ga'ora, it's like rebuke, like as if Hashem is telling them, go away. Arba Nezifa, if it's after 4 days of sickness, then it's Nezifa, which we learned earlier in the Perek, means also it's an expression of being upset with him, not quite as much as Ga'ora, but it still shows, in other words, that he passed away without enough advance notice. Chamisha Zui Mrs. Kolodam, if a person is sick for 5 days and then passed away, then that's a normal kind of passing, and there's nothing wrong with that. Rabbi Chanin says, where do we have a pasuk that expresses that 5 days is considered a normal amount? Because Hashem tells Moshe, Hein kovu yamecha lamus, behold, your days are coming close to pass away. So let's darshan the words in the pasuk. Hein means chad. The word hein means one, because as the Gemara is going to point out in a second, the word hein is Greek for one. So we darshan, there's various places where the Gemara does that, where darshan's words in Torah as words from Greek or other languages. So hein means one. Kovu means today. They are close means it is a plural, so it means at least two. Yamecha, and the word your days is also a plural, so at least today, at least two. Hachamisha, so therefore that's five. Now, what does that mean? Tosfos says, well, Moshe wasn't sick for 5 days before he passed away. So Mephoshim explain what it means is, in other words, so Marsha says, okay, what it means is we learn from him to other people. Since it's not needed in the case of Moshe Rabbeinu, then it means we learn from him for other people. And the Tosfos HaRosh says somewhat similarly, he titles that out, that it means, in other words, had it not been for the fact that Hashem gave Moshe special koiches to be able to still be vigorous and healthy on the day that he passed away. And we know, as Tosfos says, he wrote many Sifrei Torah on that day, and he walked all the way up to the top of Har Nevo'ah. Had it not been for that, then he would have had to go through the 5 days sickness like everybody else. And the Ritva says, okay, what it means is that Hashem informed Moshe 5 days in advance that he's going to be passing away. What's the idea of the 5 days? Is poshut that a person should have time to wrap up his affairs. He should have the chance to do tshuva the last time. He should have a chance to tell his family what to do with his nechosim. He should have a chance to give them other final instructions. So 5 days, the Gemara is saying, is enough time for him to set all of his affairs in order. Continues the Braisa, Mes b'chamishim shana, if a person passed away 50 years old, Zuri misas kores, then that means that's a death of kores. The idea being, now Altareba explains in Tanya, that kores means that a person's neshama is cut off from a lakus. So therefore, he can have enough of a residual life force, enough of a residual chayas to make it all the way to 50 years old. But then at that point, since his neshama is cut off, then he can't really go living beyond that. The Alter Rebbe also explains over there in Tanya and Igeres HaTshuva that that was only in those times when a person lived exclusively off Koiches HaKedusha. Nowadays that we're in Golos and Hashem's and there's Hester upon him, Hashem's presence in the world is hidden, and a Yid gets his chayus also from Koiches HaTumah, then it can happen that a person continues to live long after 50, even though he's chayav Koiches. Where do we get the 50 from? Tosfos says we find that the Levim served in the Mishkan, carrying the Kalim of the Mishkan until they were 50. And the Pasuk says, Al Tachrisu, don't cause them to be cut off by having them look at the Aron and the other Kalim before they're wrapped up. So we see from that 50 is the age of that up to 50 is the age of Kares. Also, Tosfos says another point is the average person lives to be 70 years old. Out of that, you have to subtract 20 years because of those 20 years for which when a person is not chayev punishment by Hashem yet. So therefore, that leaves 50 years. Although Tosfos doesn't like that explanation, because the fact is, we're talking about over here till the person reaches 50 years old, not till 50 years after his 20th birthday. There's other Rishonim that learn it from a point that rather what you have is, as the Gemara is going to point out soon, the imbi gvuros shmonim shana, a person who reaches gvuros, who has exceptional strength, might live to be 80. Again, subtract from that the 20 years that a person is not chai of punishment min hashamayim, so that leaves 60. Kores would imply that kores would involve that 60 gets divided in two, so therefore 30. So 20 till he's chai of misibidei shamayim plus another 30 would reach him 50. So therefore 50 would be the age of kores for that reason. So 50 years old is Kores. Chamishim u'shtayim shana, if a person lives to be 52 years old, zui misosesh or Shmuel haramasi, that's the age that Shmuel, that the Navi Shmuel lived to be. We know that because when Chana brings him to the Mishkan, to Mishkan Shiloh, he was 2 years old when he was weaned, and she brought him there, and she says he's going to live there ad olam. So an olam means 50 years, like by an eved ivri, va'avod el olam. So therefore, it means you live there another 50 years. Shishim zui misa b'dei shamayim, and if a person lives to be 60 years old, then it's misa b'dei shamayim. Now, does that mean misa b'dei shemayim, as in that the kind of thing that we're talking about, where it's a punishment for certain averus? Or there are rishonim who learn. That misa b'dei shemayim just means it's a normal death. At that point, once a person is 60, if he passes away, then it's not something so unusual. It doesn't show that he was punished in a shemayim. It just shows he lived out his life. Tosfos also discusses over here whether maybe does there factor in over here the fact that his descendants, that his children, pass away as well. Kores maybe involves that if a person passes away at 50, Tosfos says, means that him passing away by without anything else means misa b'dei shemayim, and then if his children die as well, then it means it was kores, as opposed to 60 would be misas kol adam, would be a normal death. Where do we see a hint in a pasuk that 60 is already considered a normal lifespan? One of Eev's friends says to him, "You will come bekelach to the grave." The simple meaning of bekelach means that you'll still be healthy and lived out your full life. But the word bekelach, the gematria shitinavu, the word bekelach is gematria 60. Continues the Braisa, shivim seva. 70 years old is considered seva, is old age. Shmonim gvuras, and 80 means gvuras, means the person had exceptional strength. Dichtiv, as the pasuk says in Tehillim, Yemei Shneisenu Bahem Shivim Shana, the days of our years. In them are 70, meaning most people live to be around 70. Being big Buddhist, and if a person is exceptionally strong, shmonim shana, than 80 years. So let's analyze that. Omer Rabba, mechamishim v'ad shishim shana. When we said before that 50 is kares, we don't mean davka 50. We mean if a person passed away anywhere between 50 and 60 years old, zui misas kares. Then this can be that he had kares. The reason why the Braisa doesn't say so in so many words, it just says 50 is kares, is mishum kvodish or shmuel haramasi, is because of the honor of Shmuel. Given that Shmuel lived to be only 52, we don't want to imply that he had kares. But in fact, for most people, so in Shmuel's case, that was the amount of life that was destined him to begin with. We said that Chana, who herself was a Nevi'ah, said that he's going to live there ad Olam. So she knew to begin with that he's destined to live only 52 years. But for a regular person, it wouldn't be that way. So therefore, it could be that it means that he got kares. So Marsha has a very interesting explanation about this. Why Shmuel lived to be Dafka 52? And he explains like this. Again, we have to consider during the first 20 years of a person's life, he's not yet chay of punishment min hashamayim. Only at 20 years old does he become liable to such punishment. Therefore, so now the average person lives about 50 years after that, because they live to be 70. Two-thirds of 50 is 32. Therefore, once a person has lived, so in the case of a tzaddik like Shmuel, once he's lived two-thirds of the 50 years when he would be chay of, possibly liable to punishment in Shemayim, once he lived through those 32 years following his 20th birthday and he hadn't done any averus and he was still a tzaddik, then we know that he has a good chance of remaining a tzaddik for the rest of his life. The Gemara phrases the idea in Sanhedrin, we just had an Ein Yaakov actually, that once a person has gone most of his life without doing averus, then he's not an absolute guarantee, of course. You have Yochanan Kohen Gadol, but in general, a person is not susceptible as much to averus anymore. So therefore, so once he's reached that point, then already he can pass away, and it's not kares. Marsha also interestingly connects that with with the idea of Sfira Sa'omer. He says you have 20 days from when Hashem, according to the opinion that Hashem created the world in Nisan, then it means, of course, Hashem began on Chof Hei Adar. You have 20 days from there until the first day Pesach. Then you have 49 days of Sfira. So those represent similarly the 20 years and then the 50 years of a person's lifespan. And we celebrate Lag BaOmer on the 33rd day of Sfira. Why? Because it symbolizes this idea of that a person has lived through 32 years after 20. They're already 52 years old, like we're saying, like Shmuel was, representing another 52 days since Hashem started creating the world, and they haven't done averus, and therefore that's cause for celebration. So the Gemara tells Rav Yosef Pihava Bar Shittin, when Rav Yosef was 60 years old, Ovid Lahu Yoma Tova L'Rabbanan. He made a party for the Chachamim to celebrate that he had reached that he had reached that milestone. Omar, he says, Nafki Limi Kores, because now I'm beyond Kores, because we said Kores is between 50 and 60 years old. So now I'm 60. So therefore I'm beyond getting Kores, and that's a cause for celebration. Omale Abaya, but Abaya asked Rabbi Yosef, Nehi de Nofak Leimami Kores Tishani. Okay, so we said you're beyond Kores of years because you're already 60 years old, but Mikores de Yoimi Minofik Mar, but how are you still not beyond Kores of days? As we said before, a person could pass away suddenly or after only one or after only a couple of days of sickness, and it's called Kores de Yoimi, so that you're still not guaranteed against. Okay, but at least you can hold half in your hand. In other words, I'm halfway there already. At least I'm out of Kores of years. Now, there's a sicha in Chelek Hay, which actually the original sicha was the Rebbe gave on Yud Aleph Nissen Chof Beis on his own 60th birthday, where the Rebbe discusses this point, the Rebbe discusses this Gemara in some detail. Among other things is why is only Rabbi Yosef making such a party? There are many Chachamim before him and after him who also reached 60 years old, and we don't find that made such a party. Why is he saying Palga B'yodcha? He should say Nekot Miachoda B'yodcha, one out of the two things, Kores of years versus Kores of days. Why is he calling it Palga as if it's like half? And several other questions. And the gist of it is that Rebbe explains, we said before, the Alter Rebbe says in Tanya, in Igeres HaTshuva, that nowadays, even a person who is Chai of Kores might indeed live far beyond 50 or 60 years old, because we don't get our Chaius exclusively from Kedusha anymore. But the Rebbe develops the idea over there that Rabbi Yosef knew that he still gets his Chaius exclusively from Kedusha. The Rebbe discusses this in connection with the fact that Rabbi Yosef was blind, and he was blind because he didn't want to see anything outside of his Dalet Amos, which might cause him to go the wrong way. So therefore, Rabbi Yosef knew that he's living on a level where his chayus comes exclusively from Kedusha, and therefore, once he's past 60 years old, he can make such a party, and specifically for the Chachamim, to celebrate that point. And then when Abaya says, what about Kores de Yoimi? So Rabbi Yosef doesn't want to say outright that I get my chayus only from Kedusha, and therefore, you didn't want to say outright, I'm a tzaddik, I'm not chayiv Kores, and besides which, anyway, al tamen ba'atzmacha ad yom moscha, after all, a person should never trust themselves until their end, like we find by Yochanan Kohen Gadol. So he says, okay, but Palga, at least we're halfway there, in the sense that at least now I know that my chayus is exclusively from Kedusha, and therefore that I don't have to worry about Kores Deshoni anymore. There may still be Kores Deyomi, but that's half the problem. At least the other half is gone. So the Rebbe talks about it in some detail, the Sicha in Chelek Hay for Parshas Toldos, in connection with the fact that Yitzchak was blind. There is a bit of discussion about this. There are different Rishonim and Achronim. There's a good deal of discussion about the deal about celebrating birthdays. There's various Rishonim and Achronim talk about it positively, others negatively. We know that Rebbe started in Tavshin Mem Ches, started making a big deal about birthdays, and even before that, of course, that Rebbe Fabrengd every year, beginning from Tavshin Chav Beis and onward consecutively, and before that, sporadically for his birthday. So there is an inyan of celebrating of a person celebrating his birthday, and it does bring about different Rishonim and Achronim that particularly they celebrated their 60th birthday. It says, for example, of the Trumas Hadeshen made a Siyum Masechta on his 60th birthday and invited other people in order that they could be Yotze that as well. So it's all based on this idea that by the time a person reaches 60, then they're not subject to Kores Deshoni anymore. The Gemara continues, Rav Huna noch nafshe pisa. Rav Huna passed away suddenly. So in other words, we said before that you can have a person passes away suddenly or after one day or 2 days or whatever. So Rav Huna, that happened. Havuka daigi rabbanon. So the Chachamim were very concerned. Based on what we said before, it might be Kores Deyomi. Tonalahu zuga de mechadayev. However, a pair of Tamar Chachamim from Chadayev taught them the following braisa, or on the side over here, it brings a girsa from the Oruch Zuza, which means that was the name of a chacham called Zuga from Chadayev. Anyway, he taught them loishanu elashalehi gil gvuris. That we were talking about before, about suddenly or after 1 day or 2 days, etc., is only when the person did not reach the age of gvuris of 80. But if he's already 80 or more, Zuri misses Neshika, then Adarabba, when a person passed away suddenly, it's a misses Neshika. It shows that Hashem, like we said before, by Moshe and Aaron and Miriam, Kavyachol kissed them and their neshama went away. So therefore, it's nothing to worry about. It's not Kodesh Deshanim. And Rav Huna lived to be older than 80. So in this connection, the Gemara says, Omar Rava, Chaye Boni or Mizoni, when it comes to life and children and sustenance, Parnasa, Loibis Chusa Talia Milsa, Elaba Mazla Talia Milsa. Those things do not depend on a person's chus. Those things depend on a person's mazel. Now, what do you mean on mazel? What happened to Ein Mazel Yisrael? Tosfos says, okay, what it means, Ein Mazel Yisrael, means that there is a mazel, but it can be changed. But sometimes it can be changed through great schosim, by tefillah or mitzvahs or whatever. On the other hand, sometimes not. We had, for example, in Tainus, where Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas was very poor, the great Amora, Rabbi Elazar, was very poor, and his mazel couldn't be changed. But sometimes, Tosfos says, the mazel could be changed. There's a huge number of other explanations and discussions about this. The Rashba has something about it in a couple of his Truvas. First of all, he says it definitely does not mean for the Tzibur. For the Tzibur, we know the Torah promises if you keep mitzvahs, then you'll have it good, and if not, then otherwise. So this whole thing of that, this the Mazel Talia Milsa, would be talking about the individual. And again, like Tosfos is saying, it can be changed. I'll be Kabbalah and I'll be Chassidus. There's the idea, mazel means the person's shoda shanashama. And so we're saying, in other words, that it depends on that. So we call it mazel because to us it seems like random, as if it's just like based on what constellation the person was born under. But really, in other words, it means where their source is, lamaila. Anyway, so it doesn't depend exclusively on source. And also the Rashba says maybe not everybody agrees to this. Rabba is saying this, but there are different opinions. He may hold Yesh Mazal Yisrael, whereas you have that Gemara in Shabbos that says Ein Mazal Yisrael. Anyway, Rabba says, I'll prove it, that it doesn't depend on Mazal, that it doesn't depend on Schus, but rather on Mazal. Rabba and Rav Chista were both Chachamim, who were great Tzadikim, and we see how great they were. Mar Matzli V'Osi Mitra, Mar Matzli V'Osi Mitra. Both of them were able to daven and rain would fall. So we see what tremendous Chachamim, what tremendous Tzadikim they were. And yet, let's contrast how they lived. Rav Chista Choya Tishin V'Tautin Shnin. Rav Chista lived to be 92 years old. Rabba Choya Aboyim. Rabba lived to be only 40 years old. Now, to be sure, the Gemara tells us in Rosh Hashanah and in some other places that he was descended from Beis Eli and he passed away young. But nevertheless, the Gemara says over there that if a person is Osik and Torah and Gemilas Chasadim, then he'll live longer. And therefore, that schus would have allowed him to live longer, says Rava, were it not for the fact that his mazel was to live only 40 years. With that said, Dodo Soto Shonim says maybe it wasn't 40 years, maybe it was 60, but still 60 is a lot less than 92. Beir of Chista Shitin Hiluli, another contrast, in Rav Chista's household, they had 60 weddings. 60, a lot of times, in the Gemara, doesn't necessarily mean the exact number 60, it just means a large number. So there were a large number of simchas in Rav Chista's house. He had many children that he married off and made simchas for. Beir Rabba Shitin Tichli, whereas in Rabba's house, on the other hand, he had 60 bereavements that many people in his household passed away. In Rav Chista's house, they were so rich that they were able to feed fine flour for the dogs, and nobody was looking for it. There was never a shortage of that fine flour, even though they were giving some of the dogs. On the other hand, in Rabba's household, they had to eat, the people there had to eat barley bread because they couldn't afford wheat bread, and they couldn't find it. There wasn't enough of it. So we see, in other words, Rava is saying, as far as all three things, Chaye and Bunny and Mizoni, there was such a contrast between Rav Chista and Rava. So you see, Rava says that those three things depend on Mazel rather than on Schus. Interesting point, by the way. Usually the order is Bunny, Chaye, or Mizoni. Here, the Gemara gives it as the order Chaye, Bunny, or Mizoni. So there are actually places in Chassidus where it talks about that Chaye comes from Chochma and Boni from Bina and Mizoni from Tiferes and from Das rather, and therefore puts it in that order. But there is actually a Sicha once, Topshin Lamed Aleph, where they ever talked about why the usual order is Boni, Chaye, and Mizoni. After all, Chaye comes first. So why what Chaye comes first? So why are we putting Boni first usually? And the reason is that Rebbe said, because a person has children, if they're acting the right way, then he has Chaye, then his life is a life. If they don't, Chas v'shalom, then his life is not worth living. So therefore, we put Bani first to represent that idea. So for Amar Rava, also Rava says in this connection, Hani tlas mili ba'oye kamishmaya, I requested from Hashem the following three things. Tauti yavuli, two of them they gave me, two of them they granted me what I wanted. Chodol lo yavuli, and one they did not grant me. I asked for chokhmase de Rav Huna, I asked for the chokhma of Rav Huna to be able to teach Torah, to understand and teach Torah to the same degree that he did. V'usre de Rav Chista, and I asked for the wealth of Rav Chista, who was actually Rava's father-in-law. V'yahavuli, and I was given those min hashamayim. He did become a great Talmud Chacham like Rav Huna, and very rich like Rav Chista. But I also asked in the senuse de Rava bar Rav Huna, I also asked for the anivos, the humility of Rava bar Rav Huna, lo yavuli, and I wasn't granted that. Now, of course, Hakol Bidei Shemayim, Chutz Yiras Shemayim, but in other words, he meant that Hashem should give him assistance to reach that level, and he didn't. He wasn't able to reach that level, he's saying. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to talk about a little bit various things that happened right before the Chachamim passed away. Rav Sa'urim Achur de Rava, Hava Yosef Kameh de Rava, Rav Sa'urim, the brother of Rava, was sitting in front of Rava. Chazia de Hava Kamenamnim, this is Rava was on his deathbed, and Rav Sa'urim saw that Rava was Menamnim. Menamnim literally means falling asleep. It's a nice way of saying that he was a goisis, he was on his last breaths. Omale, so Rava says to Rav Sa'urim, Lei Malei Mao de Lei Latsaran. You, Rav Sa'urim, Rebbe, please tell him, the Malach HaMavis, not to hurt me, not to trouble me, not to pain me. Amalei said, Rav Sa'urim says, why do I need to ask for you? Mar lav shushkinehu, aren't you a friend of the Malach HaMavis? Because the Chachamim, they learn Torah, they accomplish such things in the world that like even the Malach HaMavis is forced to be friendly with them, like defined by Moshe Rabbeinu. So you should be able to ask him yourself. Omalei, so Rava tells him, given the imser mazla, once my neshama has been given over to him, lo yashkach, he's not going to pay any attention to me, so I can't ask him, he's not going to listen to me, you need to ask on my behalf. Omalei, sort of Sa'urim says, okay, I will ask on your behalf, ischazi limar, Rebbe, please appear to me after you pass away. I want to know, Mephoshim explained, he's saying, I want to know whether that I asked the Malach HaMavis to go easy on you, whether it was effective. Ischazile, sure enough, Rava came to Rav Sa'urim in a dream. Omale, and Rav Sa'urim asks him, Havale Lamar Tzaira, did you have pain when you passed away? Omale, so Rava tells him, Ki Rivda de Kusilta. It was, but it was like the pain when they put in the needle for bloodletting. In other words, it was a very minor thing. What it is, in other words, you have a person, depending on how they live in the world, their neshama is more entangled with their nefesh abahamis, or less so. So when it's entangled, then it's very painful to schlep it out. The Gemara elsewhere compares it to like pulling wool out of thorns, where some of the wool gets left behind, and it's a very painful rip. And all here, Rava is saying that he was on a much higher level than that, and therefore it was like only a minor pain, his neshama leaving his body. By the way, when we say over here that Rava was menamnim, there's a few places in Shas where it mentions that a certain Talmid Chacham was menamnim and his Talmidim are sitting in front of him and discussing something in Torah, and then he tells them something. So in those places, it could mean that menamnim just means that he was taking a nap. But it could also mean, menamnim means, like we're saying over here, that he was about to pass away. Like even as he's taking his last breaths, he still wants to teach them one last thing of Torah. But here, definitely menamnim means he was about to pass away. Similarly, the Gemara says, Rava Hava Yosef Kameh de Rav Nachman. Rava was sitting at the Talmud in front of Rav Nachman. Chazi had become Menamnim. He saw that Rav Nachman also was Menamnim, about to pass away. Omalei, and Rav Nachman says to Rava, Leimau de Leila Tzaron, you, Rebbe, tell the Malach HaMavis not to hurt me. Omalei, and Rava asks, similar to what Rav Sa'urim asked him many years later, Ma'alam lav adam choshevu, aren't you an important person yourself, Rebbe? You should be able to ask for yourself. Omalei, so Rav Nachman tells him, Man choshev, who is important at a time like this? Man sofin, who is sofin? Man rakia, and who is rakia? There's a few different explanations what sofin and rakia mean. Rashi explains that rakia means misukan, like fixed up, like in a proper place to be able to ask the Malach HaMavis. Rashi over here doesn't define what sofin is, although Rashi on Ein Yaakov says that Sofin would mean like the, that people would be afraid of him, like the Malach HaMavos isn't going to be afraid of me at a time like this. Tosfos brings that Sofin means important, and Rakia then would be like Rashi is saying, the Sukkon, like proper, like in a proper place, fixed up. There's a few other explanations what Rakia means, including it's like the word, like the Rakia is spread out, so it means like who is able to spread themselves out and be strong at a time like that. So in other words, I have no ability to ask the Malach HaMavos for anything. You have to do it on my behalf. So Rava said he would. He says, Rebbe, please appear to me after you pass away. It's Chazile, and Rav Nachman did. So Rava asked him, did you have Rebbe, did you have Tzara when he passed away? Omalei tells him, Kimishcha b'nisa mechelba. It was like the way when you take a hair out of a glass of milk. In other words, it was a very easy thing. And Rav Nachman continues, the E Omali Akadosh Baruch Hu Zilbal Hu Alma Kad Havis. If now Hashem were to tell me, go back into the world and be like the way you were, in other words, I'm going to give you Tchias HaMesim, Rav Nachman says, Loi Ba'ina, I wouldn't want it. The Nafesh B'Yasusi, because the fright of the Malach HaMavos is tremendous, and therefore I don't want to have to go through that experience again. Okay, we'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, and we'll finish the Masechta, Be'ez Hashem.